mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're now into hour number two. G. Edward Griffin is coming up here in just a minute or two. In fact, we have our guest. All right, he's coming up in just a moment or so. You know, we talked about the New Freedom Initiative in the last hour, which did pass, and finally it's in a bunch of different newspapers and publications, the forced psychological testing of all children, whether you're public school or private school or homeschool. And that's going to start, of course, where they'll go arrest some poor black woman who refused, and they'll say, oh, look, she was abusing her child. And it'll be, oh, it's those people. See, she had a mentally ill child and refused to get them help. And they'll use all those examples, the media will promote it, and it's going to span out into the whole population. And part of your school curriculum will be twice a year, from age 5 until you graduate, will be forced psychological testing with guidelines written by the big drug companies. So that's the freedom. That's the system. Now, the Homeland Security National ID Card Patriot Act 2 bill did not pass. But they say they're going to have an emergency session sometime in December. They always pull this with the Federal Reserve, the Income Tax, the War Powers Act, the National Security Act. It's always passed in December during emergency sessions. And three senators can get in there and have a quorum call and pass it if they want to. Just like they can pull any other scam they want. So, got to stay vigilant on that. Well, let's go ahead and talk to Tim in Ohio. Tim, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Alex, I wanted to ask a quick question, if I could, about how the MEPA legislation, the Model States Emergency Health Powers Act, fits into all of this. And I do believe that within that legislation it was written that if you refuse a mandatory vaccination, you can actually be jailed. And could this be used as a vehicle to get microchips in these vaccinations when we're not paying attention?
You know, I think they're going to sell the chipping just as a fad, as something to get discounts and something for security. I mean, they're already, you know, they tell the Mexican judicial workers, take the chip or you're fired, and over 1,000 say, Heil Hitler and do it. So that's one way they're doing it. But no, the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act, most of the states refused to pass it, so they just passed it in page 71 of the Homeland Security package a couple years ago. And in there, yes, mass roundups, mass arrests, forced inoculations. There's other stuff they've already put in these vaccines. So it's setting the precedent, and now Homeland Security is running these ads where you talk to your child, and what do I do if the terrorists attack mommy? Where do I go? What do I do? And then, of course, the ad seems reasonable about, yeah, I have a plan, but then the government then goes, we've got a plan. If there's an attack, we take your children to a secure location. We're not going to let you have them. Well, that's been out for 2 years now. So, again, they create the problem. They tell you, we got to have a plan if there's an attack. Run these ads, raise the question, and then, oh, we've got the answer. We're going to take your children from you during a disaster. And that's the official plan.
And this the New Freedom Commission or whatever, who's going to pay for these exams? And where's the money going to come from to actually push this through?
Congress just funded it. I mean, what do you mean? They just pay to send psychiatrists and psychologists into the school twice a year, and then Big Pharma, you pay for your own destruction. They get to then get, instead of 15%, 50% is their target goal, kids on drugs.
So it'll be our tax dollars to put us in our own prison.
Isn't it always? Good to hear from you, Tim. I appreciate your call. All right, we'll come back, cover more news, take more of your calls at 1-800-259-9231. Let's see them try to implement, though. They'll target the poor and disenfranchised first. I mean, it says everybody, but they'll use examples in the media. Oh, see, this kid was crazy, and they wouldn't help him. No, it's your child, too. Half of your children will be forced on it.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here. And the behavior of our police is a reflection of our government. One look in the mirror and we know our country is entering a high-tech police state. Here's just a sample from my documentary film, Police State 2, The Takeover.
In downtown Seattle today, the First Amendment ended.
The civil emergency was created by the police.
Riot police attacked people on the street indiscriminately.
The medical bills are going to be enormous for me.
You see them here with their hands cupped behind their backs. They are being led into the Sandpoint Brig. The neighbors in that area of Sandpoint Naval Air Station were shocked to hear that the old brig was being reopened.
This information is absolutely vital for all freedom lovers in the United States. Order your video today. Call toll-free at 888-253-3139. The number to order the takeover again is 888-253-3139. Or go to my website, Infowars.com.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Heart disease continues to be the leading cause of death in America. Why? Haven't people heard about the positive effects of Cardavite? Cardavite drops and capsules were designed to improve your cardiovascular health and circulatory well-being. The all-natural ingredients in Cardavite begin immediately working to increase metabolism in your heart muscle tissue, mitigating heart rhythm abnormalities, and improving oxygen and blood flow in the heart. Right now, as a special for GCN listeners, you'll get a 4-month supply for only $99 plus shipping, a 30% savings off the regular price. This offer is only for a limited time, so call now 1-877-928-8822. Cardavite drops and capsules may help improve your circulation and cardiovascular health, but that's up to you. Take the first step with Cardavite. Call toll-free 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com for more information. Don't let heart disease beat you. Beat the odds and do your body right with Cardavite.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, coming up in the next hour, we have the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. The new Freedom Initiative passed. The forced psychological testing of every child in the country, homeschooled, private schooled, they will come, and if you don't go along with it, they will arrest you. And Ron Paul couldn't even get parental consent. Now, again, if you're a convicted axe murderer who escapes from prison, they can't make you answer questions under the Fifth Amendment. But, and this is totally criminal, totally unconstitutional, but they're going to try to push it. But so we're going to get into this nightmare and more news in the third hour, and, of course, your calls. But for the next 54 minutes, or 53 minutes, I am honored to have G. Edward Griffin, who has probably educated more people out there on the Federal Reserve than anybody else. Maybe Eustace Mullins, the great granddaddy of it all, maybe has reached a few more people in his 60 years of fighting. But G. Edward Griffin wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island about the big bankers meeting and who they are and how the Federal Reserve works and what we're facing. But basically, the Federal Reserve creates money out of nothing. It's private. And then they buy up the gold and they buy up the industries and they buy up the world with it. And they put us into debt, paying back interest on something that's a fraud to begin with. Then they're able to radically inflate the money and devalue the dollar at the same time. Basically, it makes us total slaves. And the average person, now that people finally know the Federal Reserve is private, I hear yuppies calling the talk shows and go, well, doesn't somebody need to run it? You know, these are good people that care about us. So joining us for the next 55 minutes is G. Edward Griffin. And by the way, folks, we're going to be giving out a number where you can get this book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, the preeminent work on the Federal Reserve, put in a context where everybody can understand it. It's a great Christmas gift. I suggest you order more than one copy because it's powerful. Sir, it's great to have you on with us.
Well, thanks, Alex. It's good to be here.
You bet. You know, a lot of our listeners know all about this, but I'd say half of them over the last year are pretty new. The show's exploded. You're talking to a crowd, some of them out there that have no idea what the Federal Reserve is. Explain it to us, and explain your book.
Well, yeah, that's a big chunk to explain the Federal Reserve system in a nutshell. Let's try it, though, see how far we can get. The Federal Reserve system is a cartel. Now, that'll bring up a lot of people pretty short because they think it's a government agency of some kind, and it's not. It's created by the government, but it's operated entirely privately. And when you strip off all the garments from it and get down to that naked creature underneath, it's a cartel. It's a banking cartel, no different than the sugar cartel or the oil cartel. This one happens to be a banking cartel, and it was created by an act of Congress in 1913, so it's given the force of law. And most cartels actually like to have the force of law attached to their cartel agreements because it's how they enforce the agreements. You know, if you were, let's say you were part of the oil cartel or OPEC, and one of the countries decided that they were going to break the agreement on what they're going to charge for oil, you had no way to force them to keep the agreement. So the same thing is with any cartel. How do you force the members to keep the agreement? Well, you get the government involved and take the cartel agreement and pass it through Congress and make it a law. Now, if one of the members break the agreement, that they go to jail. So cartels like to do that. And so this whole thing was created back in 1913 at a time when the banks were really struggling because they had at that time participated in a lot of shaky arrangements with regard to their deposits and their reserves. We might get into that a little bit more later on. But banks were folding. There were runs on the bank. People were asking for their money back that they had been told they could have at any time. And many of the banks had been embarrassed because when the lines created out in front, they said, oh, golly, well, we now have to admit we don't have your money in the bank. We've loaned it out. And so they wanted some way to get the government involved to protect them and make it look as though it was something they were doing for the benefit.
But in many cases, it was actually the very same later cartel controllers who would manipulate these controlled crashes and even brag about it to have profit-taking, and then they create the crisis and then offer a solution that's even far worse.
Well, yes, that's an age-old tactic, is it not? The reason I called the book The Creature from Jekyll Island is because, well, first of all, it has kind of a mysterious sound to it, and it might attract somebody's attention. But the real rationale behind it is because it's historically accurate. Jekyll Island is a real island, and it's off the coast of Georgia. And it was on that island back in 1910 that the Federal Reserve System was actually conceived.
And corporations are considered persons, and so they created a new creature.
Yes, indeed. They created a new creature, and it's curious, I thought, when I was doing my initial research, that why would they create something like this? Not in Washington, D.C. You'd expect that to be created in some hearing room or some office in Washington, but no, they went to this private island out in off the coast of Georgia, which was owned by a group of billionaires from New York, people like J.P. Morgan and William Rockefeller and their business associates. It was a club. It was a resort island where their families went during the cold winter months up in New York. And I thought, why would they go down there? And then I discovered that they had exercised a lot of caution so that nobody would know that they went. There was great secrecy surrounding.
Because back then we had senators and congressmen railing against them, calling them criminals, talking about their takeover plan.
Well, yes, exactly. I mean, here was a plan that was offered to the American people as a means of controlling the banks and bringing the banks, you know, back to sanity.
Written by the bank owners.
And had they known that the whole program was being created by the banks themselves, well, then the scam would have been out in the open, which is why all the secrecy about that meeting. So anyway, that was the reason we called it The Creature from Jekyll Island. And, you know, to me it was like asking the fox to build the hen house. And that's exactly what they did.
It's unbelievable. And, let's go through how they got it passed, during the holiday season like they always do with this stuff, and then the progression of what they've done with this power since then, and now look at the plunging dollar, look at the debt, look at what the Federal Reserve is doing to us.
Well, yes, how they got it passed, I think, is a fascinating story, and it tells us a lot about these people. First of all, the people who created the Federal Reserve Act went out of their way to look like they were opposing it. In other words, they were leading their own opposition. People who had attended the meeting were giving press releases or statements to newspaper reporters saying, oh, well, this bill is going to be bad for business.
I'm going to give you the floor. Just give, you know, you've got about 5 minutes of the break. Just give us that history. Give us, you know, what happened and how they rammed it through. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's very instructive. The first draft of the bill, of course, was called the Aldrich Bill, and one of the participants of this whole thing was Paul Warburg, and Warburg said to Senator Aldrich, whose name was on the bill, he said, you better not do this because you are well known to be associated with the bankers and big business, and people will say, well, that's a big business bill. And his ego was so great, he said, oh, no, I'm chairman of the National Monetary Commission, and it is the bill of my committee, so he put his name on it. And sure enough, there was a lot of backlash in Congress. People said exactly what Warburg said they would say, which was that a bill of big business. And so it didn't get much support. So that was not too big a setback. They came along and they got a couple of Democrats to support the bill. And these guys, of course, were bankers too, but they at least were Democrats and they weren't well known as being associated with big business. So now it was a Democrat bill. It was okay. It was the same bill, basically, but now it was okay. And now some of these people who sponsored the bill began to give these statements to the public that they opposed the bill, which, of course, was not true. But they were saying, oh, this bill is going to be bad for business. It's going to be bad for the country. You know, the average person would read that in the newspaper, and they'd say, hey, Maud, you hear? Listen to this now. These bankers don't like this bill very much. Must be pretty good, you know? And so they were using mass psychology on the American people, leading their own opposition, which is a tactic which we've seen done many, many, many times since then in many issues. And then they created little committees around the country, little ad hoc committees led usually by one or two people who were employed at either one of the banks or one of the corporations which were within the bank orbit. And these people would say, well, I'm the Ohio Committee for Banking Reform, and they generate a little letterhead, and then they start issuing press releases to the local papers. The papers would take it at face value, and people got the impression, well, gee, oh, there's the grassroots movement out here in favor of the Federal Reserve Act. I guess people like it. And then they gave large amounts of money to some of the larger universities where they didn't have departments of economics, or at least they were underfunded. And along with the money, of course, came the stipulation that the donors be given the option of naming the head of the department. Most of the universities were happy to have $1 million and also the nominee of a nice professor to be head of the department. And so all of a sudden, these departments of economics were staffed and headed by people who were very, very friendly to the Federal Reserve Act. And they started to write these scholarly tomes about how wonderful it would be for the nation. And so all of this was a conducted, carefully orchestrated campaign to create the impression that there was massive support at the academic level and at the grassroots level, and that the bankers were opposed to it. All of this was done. It was a brilliantly orchestrated scenario.
By the way,
to sell the whole project.
That exact same thing's being done to amend the Constitution for Arnold Schwarzenegger right now.
Yes, exactly the same. The same tactics. They don't change. They always work. And the only trouble is that the average American is not aware of these tactics, and he falls for it every time. So, anyway, that's how the Federal Reserve was sold to the American people. And as you said, it was passed during a session of just before Christmas, although I think there's too much been made of that because most of the congressmen and senators were already on record as being in favor of it. And so if they had been there, I think they would have voted for it anyway.
All right, we're talking to G. Edward Griffin, a creature from Jekyll Island. We'll be back, and later we'll tell you how to get this book. It's important that we know history. And by the way, coming up this Christmas, they've got some presents for you, the National ID Card and Patriot Act, too. They've already given you the new Freedom Initiative. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Jack Brownrigg for Midas Resources. Last summer, we did some two-year comparisons between the equity markets and gold. Let's update. January of 2002 to January of 2004, the Dow was up a whopping 2.2%. The NASDAQ in that same time frame is flat. 2 years ago, the U.S. dollar was worth 17% more than the euro. Today, the U.S. dollar is worth 28% less than the euro. Guess which one has gold backing? January of 2002, gold spot was 283. January of 2004, it's well over $400 at a 13-year high, up near 40%. Gold is moving, equities are treading water, to say little of the billions lost in market scandals. Put your money in a safe haven, physical possession, private gold. Remember, gold cannot go bankrupt. Call Midas Resources today, 800-686-2237. Protect yourself, protect your loved ones. Call 800-686-2237.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. You know that Berkey water filters have become the standard of excellence by which all other water filtration systems are measured. The Berkey Light gives you the freshest, cleanest water possible from the world's most revolutionary water filtration system. The self-sterilizing black Berkey elements remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, volatile organic chemicals, trihalomethanes, radon 222, and much, much more. Its rechargeable 8-lamp bright white LED lighting system provides the ideal source of emergency light. The lights can run all night on a single charge, and it is bright enough to read by. This provides a relaxing and ambient night light and allows for optimum use during emergency conditions. The Berkey Light's revolutionary transparent design takes the guesswork out of refilling because you can see the water level at all times. Get the Berkey Light, the standard of excellence, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll free at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
The media is flooded with reports of everything from antibiotic-resistant supergerms to the possibility of a flu epidemic due to a vaccine shortage. If we can't rely on traditional medicines, what are you going to do to keep you and your family healthy and safe? There is now a scientifically proven alternative called Super Silver Solution. Super Silver's combination of supercharged silver and oxygen has been proven to kill hundreds of bacteria and be at least 200 to 300% more effective than any other silver product. Super Silver is the only patented silver product scientifically proven to kill the germs that cause colds, flu, sinus, ear, eye, and respiratory infections. It's powerful enough to kill the deadly staph infection, yet completely safe for everyday use by children, adults, and pets. Call International Health for your free audio information package at 1-800-974-1879. We're so sure it works, we guarantee it. That's 1-800-974-1879 or visit supersilver.net.
Hi, folks. This is Alex Jones. Whether you are aware or not, World War III has started. Let me rephrase that. Oil War III has started. Don't kid yourself. The reason we went into Iraq is oil. Now we are looking at the possibility of invading Iran and even Saudi Arabia. Why else would the U.S. be building 13 permanent military installations inside Iraq? Does it look like we're pulling out? The nations of the earth are consuming oil at the rate of 83 million barrels per day and growing. At this rate of consumption, experts predict that oil prices will only go up. Ready Reserves prepared a free booklet explaining the world's oil supply and how it will impact you and how it will change the world forever. Call Ready Reserves at 1-800-453-2202 and ask about the free booklet and what you can do to prepare. That's 800-453-2202. After you read the booklet, you will understand just how dangerous the world has become. That's 1-800-453-2202 or email your request to readyreserves@aol.com. That's 800-453-2202.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We're talking to G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island. Continue, please, sir, with how they got the Federal Reserve Act through and now what they've since done with it.
Well, that pretty well covered the history in a nutshell of how they got it through. It was a great media blitz and propaganda blitz, which was beautifully orchestrated by these people. You know, they're not stupid. They didn't get to be in these positions of extreme power that they are by being naive. And they understand mass psychology and political maneuvering very well. And so it's something we need to know, that not all of these bills, in fact, very few of the bills that go through Congress, are what they appear to be. I mean, the Federal Reserve Act was sold to the American people as a means of, the phrase they used then was to break the grip of the money trust. Well, in fact, it was written by the money trust, and the whole purpose of the bill was to consolidate the grip of the money trust.
Totally secure it.
Totally secure it, which is what they did. The Federal Reserve was, I should say, the banking system was in a rather state of disarray and decline at that point. And ever since the passage of the Federal Reserve Act, of course, it's been strengthened and expanded because now they have the guarantee of the American taxpayer to back up their whole system. If anything goes wrong within the banking system now, you can be sure that the American taxpayer will be called in to pay the bills and to make it right.
Well, I mean, explain to people how it works, though. I mean, a bank can loan out, what, 10 times for what its real reserves are. And when they loan you money for a house, I mean, it's a total scam. And then the system's based on creating more and more debt.
Well, yeah, let me walk through that, because that's a fascinating part of the whole thing. I call it the Mandrake mechanism, because back in the 1940s, there was a comic book character by the name of Mandrake the Magician. And I used to read Mandrake. I thought he was pretty cool guy. He could wave his cape and produce things out of thin air and wave it again, and they would disappear, which is an amazing thing. And I thought, aha, this is what they do at the Federal Reserve. So I call it the Mandrake mechanism, and it works something like this. First of all, you have to understand that the Federal Reserve, as I mentioned before, is a cartel, but it's a cartel which is in partnership with the federal government. And because the government authorized it, chartered it, created the special act of Congress that made it an entity, and it backs it with the force of law. So the question is, why would the federal government and the banking system become partners in a venture? And the answer is pretty simple. Obviously, there are benefits to both groups. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. So in following the Mandrake mechanism, we'll see the benefits to both sides. We start with the political side. Why do the politicians go into it? And it works something like this. Congress is spending money like a drunken sailor on a weekend, and the only thing is that the politicians know that it's popular to spend money, but unpopular to raise taxes to pay for what they're spending. So the goal of most politicians is, how do you spend more and tax less? And the answer is, well, you borrow the money. If you don't want to raise taxes, which would get you unelected, then you borrow the money instead of raising taxes. And that works for a while because people are always willing to step forward. I used to buy bonds, and I don't anymore, of course, because I don't think it's ethical. But a lot of people will buy government bonds because they know that they're going to get their money back and plus an interest. Institutions buy government bonds and treasury notes. Banks buy them, corporations buy them, retirement funds buy them. So there are a lot of people who are willing to lend the government money so that the politicians can spend more than they take in as taxes. The problem there, of course, is that the loan to the government, the bond, has to be paid back. And when it comes time to pay back these bonds, lo and behold, the politicians are still spending more than they're taking in, so they don't have the money to pay back the original bonds. The solution is that they go out and borrow more money to pay back the original bonds, plus enough more to handle the continuation of the expenses. So the number of bonds out there grows, and the debt grows. And we know, well, from experience, that's how the national debt grows every day, by millions, if not billions of dollars. Well, all right, so far so good. The Federal Reserve comes along, though, and adds a new dimension to it. You see, as long as individuals or institutions are loaning money to the government, it doesn't create any new money into the system, because that money has already been in somebody's pocket or somebody's checking account, and they're just moving it from there and giving it to the government to spend. But now, the government can never get enough money in that fashion. They always need more, 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 and that's where the Federal Reserve System comes in. So let's just imagine that the Treasury official goes to the Federal Reserve office and he says, well, I need money today. And the Federal Reserve officer says, well, come in, sir, sit down. We've been expecting you. How much money do you need today? And he says, well, how about $1 billion? And now the Federal Reserve officer pulls out that big black check and he writes a check for $1 billion. And lo and behold, that money didn't exist until he wrote
that
check.
We're going to break. We'll come back and continue with this and then take some calls. Stay with us, folks.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, I'd like to welcome Alan Glasser, a pharmacist from Mark's Plaza Pharmacy in Vancouver, Canada. Hi, Alan. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Marvin.
Now, I understand that prescription drugs are far less expensive in Canada. Is that true?
Yes, Marvin, it's true. You can save 40% or more off the regular U.S. price.
What about drugs like Premarin and Lipitor? They're very common.
Those common drugs, you can save 50% off the regular U.S. price.
Now, what about Tamoxifen? I understand you can save 70% on Tamoxifen.
Tamoxifen, you can see a 75% savings against the regular U.S. price.
Now, are these brand name products made by the same companies?
Yes, the same multinational U.S. corporation makes them in Canada and the U.S.
So to save money on prescription drugs in Canada, call the toll-free number for your information package.
To find out more, call toll-free 1-800-840-0686. That's 1-800-840-0686. Or go on the web at www.canshipdrugs.com.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here. You know Berkey water filters have been removing pathogenic bacteria for years. But what about those unhealthy chemicals and heavy metals in your water? The powerful black Berkey purification elements fit most gravity filters and dramatically increase their power to extract waterborne contaminants. Best of all, they filter much faster than ordinary gravity elements. This means it takes much less time to filter your water. Black Berkey elements not only remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites, but also remove trihalomethanes and volatile organic elements such as benzene, chloride, and chloroform, MTBE, radon 222, foul taste and obnoxious odors like sulfur, even nitrates, and unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum aren't extracted. Supercharge your gravity filter today and order a two-pack of Black Berkey purification elements for only $96 or a four-pack for only $175 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat symptoms. BioSolutions has over 450 pre-programmed auto-sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. It comes with a 30-day return policy and a one-year limited warranty. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free, 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625. Call today.
You know, people hear that, well, the global elite wouldn't crash the economy or wouldn't do something bad. They'd lose too much money. My friends, they print the money. They set it up to consolidate wealth and actual property. And it's about owning the media and controlling the mindset of the people and controlling the population as a military tool and as an industrial tool to invade other nations and expand the empire. We're talking to G. Edward Griffin. And, sir, tell folks about your website and how people get a copy of the book.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we have a website that's pretty easy to remember. It's called The Reality Zone. And so the website address is www.realityzone.com. And our book is there. We have a lot of other books and videos and audio recordings on this and similar topics. But you can certainly find it right there featured at the top of the list. And if anybody wants to call in and order it from an 800 toll-free number, it's 800-595-6596. That's 800-595-6596.
Well, it's a powerful book, and I hope people get it. And I just want to commend you for all the work you've done. I want to go to some calls. We could spend 10 hours on this, but it just focusing it down, boiling it down, how the scam works, and then who ends up being left with a bag, and now what the Federal Reserve has done to America in the course of the last 80 years since they've had control.
Right. Well, I guess we should finish off that little discussion about the Mandrake mechanism. We've pictured the Treasury official going to the Federal Reserve and asking for $1 billion, and the Treasury, rather the Federal Reserve officer says, well, here's your $1 billion, and he writes a check for it. But the funny thing is that that checkbook that he used to write the check didn't have any money in an account behind it. That money was actually created out of thin air when they advanced that money to the federal government. They call that monetizing the debt. They convert the government debt into money. And so now the Federal Reserve has this money, and we can see instantly why the politicians are in the partnership, because that means that under any circumstance, they can always go to their partner, the Federal Reserve System, and get more money without having to market it to the public, without having to sell bonds to the institutions or anything. They can say, we need more money, and zingo, they've got it. It's by agreement that they will automatically get it.
But then that bases your economy on fiat and manipulation, and then when the bankers want to, they can plunge the dollar, they can control the economy.
Well, give them total control over it, yeah.
They can have insider trading.
Yeah, right.
And it gives them total power, because the Federal Reserve can also make its own money and buy whatever it wants with it.
Well, the Federal Reserve technically can do that, I suppose, but that's really not its function, Alex. Its function is to take care of its partner, the federal government, as I just described. But now that's not where the Fed makes its money. The interest on that money to the federal government is used to run the Federal Reserve System, and if there's any surplus left over, which there always is, it's very ceremoniously returned back to the federal government as an act of great charity. And it's true that they actually do return all the money that they don't use to run the system. And that's not where the action is. The real action now is on the other side, where the bankers are in this partnership. So let's follow that $1 billion that they just created for the federal government. That was just sort of a little duty they had to do to keep the partnership alive.
They get to loan it out 10 times what they even created.
Exactly. Now, the federal government has this money. What does it do? Let's just take $1,000 as an example that they pay to the postal worker. And now the postal worker takes that $1,000 and deposits it into his commercial bank down at the end of the street. Now it's into the banking system, and we follow this money now, and this is where it really gets interesting. The bank can take that $1,000 deposited from the postal worker and loan out up to additional $9,000 on it. And that money is created out of thin air. In other words, if you went to the bank and you said, I want to borrow $9,000 for a car, the bank creates the money and lends it to you based on the $1,000 deposited by the postal worker. Now, they keep the $1,000 in the bank, or at least on their books, as an asset. It's shown there as an asset. And on the basis of that asset, they can create an additional $9,000 for every one. So that $9,000 that they loaned to you was literally created out of thin air for the loan. Now, they collect interest on nothing, in other words. And that's the pretty good deal. Now, you can see why the bankers are on it. They don't collect interest on $9,000 because they didn't have $9,000. They collect interest on $9,000 that they created.
And then they're able, after they loan out that $9,000 off the $1,000, or a total of $10,000 now, then that's counted in banks other places. And then they're able to 10 times that or 9 times that. And then when people don't pay, they get the houses, they get the buildings, they get the institutions, they get it all.
Yeah, they do collateralize most of their loans. They have some unsecured loans, of course, which they collect higher interest on that because of the supposedly higher risk. But,
but again, it's all made out of nothing, and they create this fiat system. And then now, Alan Greenspan comes out and chastises, why, it's your fault, Congress, you did this, but they're all in it together, and then they criticize the American people, and, oh, you're going to pay for shipping the jobs overseas, when they're the ones that have been pushing it all along. What's the master plan, what they're doing with the Union of American States and the EU and now the euro and the dollar down by 45%? What does all this mean? Why are they doing this?
Well, that's the big question of the day, is it not? My observation is that when this whole system started back at the turn of the century, the primary motive among these people was just money, profit, and power. But with the passage of each generation, we find more and more of a political or an ideological orientation among these people.
They get inbred, they get nuttier and nuttier. It's like, Caligula has Nero, and he's 10 times crazier.
That's sort of the way I see it, too. But their vision now is world government with themselves in control behind the scenes, using money power as one of the most important levers.
And getting rid of most of the population and forced drugging and total nightmare police state. They're openly setting it up. I mean, let me just ask you, Jim Griffin, expert on terrorism. I mean, you've made a bunch of films and books. You're really an expert. New Freedom Initiative, forced psychological testing. They passed that baby. We already know we have national ID cards with the driver's license. Now they're trying to formalize it and make it law. Face scanning cameras going up everywhere, license plate scanning cameras, four-way stops in the middle of nowhere, secret arrest. I mean, we really are becoming a Soviet/Nazi-type state. Your comments on that?
Well, what can I say except that we've been conquered by our own people, people within our own ranks. They look like us. They talk like us. They're born in our country. But the enemy has conquered us.
So that's called tyranny. I mean, that's the norm in history. And they're telling us now we're basically their slaves, but it's for your own good.
Of course. And that's the underlying philosophy of collectivism. These people, I think we need to identify what is their ideology. And they're collectivists. Collectivism is what we're facing.
But they hold the strings. They collect us into one group of slaves and then sit on top of us.
Yes, and they say, as you mentioned, it's for our own good. It's for the greater good of the greater number. That's their view. And therefore, whatever needs to be done for our own good, then let's do it. If that means that we sit back and let the Japanese attack Pearl Harbor so that we can have a justification for getting into World War II, well, too bad about those 2,000 Americans that lost their lives in the attack. It was for the greater good of the nation. And the same philosophy can be applied to the war on terrorism. It's too bad about those several thousand people who lost their lives in that terrorist attack. But look at the good that came out of it for the benefit of the nation or for the benefit of mankind. Now we can move forward to establishing an American dominance in the Middle East. We can keep control of the oil reserves of the world away from those nasty communists who are collectivists on the other side of the world. Yeah, they don't call themselves that anymore, but they're still there. The same heads are under those hats. They change the hats, but the same heads are there.
Well, let me give you an example. WOAI television out of, owned by Clear Channel, by the way, not I mean, as neocon as it gets, but they even had to admit two-thirds plus of Texas foster children are on psychotropic drugs, and some of them are on 17 different drugs. They're dying on these. So that's obviously insane, having two-thirds of children on drugs. Now under New Freedom, they're going to say they're going to put half the children in America, period, on drugs. That's in their own internal documents. I mean, you know, that's obviously nuts. I mean, it's just totally un-American, totally dehumanizing to say half the kids will have to go on drugs forcibly. That's like Brave New World. But that shows that the establishment's view is totally different than that of just common sense and humanity. Satellite trackers to be put in cars to tax and trace us. All of it's happening, G. Edward Griffin. I mean, it's all happening right now.
Well, yeah, it's happening according to a master plan that was laid out starting roughly at the turn of the century to convert the whole world into a collectivist system. And in fact, anybody that wants the history on this and they want to read the words of the people themselves who were devising this plan, I have created a series of essays which are downloadable free from our website, not the one I mentioned before, but from another one. We have an organization called Freedom Force International. And if anybody is interested in this history, I urge them to come to freedomforceinternational.org and go to a section on the site called The Issues, and then drill down to a series of essays called The Future is Calling. And in those essays, you'll find all of the documentation, all of the history, all of the words of the people themselves talking about collectivism versus individualism.
And by the way, the elites, you know, they're not into the bird watching. They're not into camping. They're not into woodwork like normal people are for hobbies. Their whole world, their own documents, is controlling and dominating and manipulating populations. They hate it you've got cars. They hate it you've got swimming pools. They hate it you're able to be self-sufficient, not under their control. They hate it you're allowed to have children. They're dirty, dark, wicked people who are totally inbred and are sadistic, and they want you to be their slaves.
Well, yes, I can't really disagree with it from our point of view, Alex, but the one point I want to make is that these people themselves do not think of themselves as evil. They do not think that they're dark. They really think that they're doing what is best for mankind, and that's the dangerous part. They are sure that their children and their grandchildren are going to sing their praises. And everything they do, no matter how objectionable it may seem to you or to me, in their mind is a necessary step toward the creation of a new world order, which in their vision is going to be wonderful. So I have to disagree at that one point. They don't think of themselves as evil at all. They think that they're the only ethical and moral people
in
the world.
Well, to be clear, I'm saying they're evil.
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously, these delusional fruitcakes make little psychological excuses for what they do.
Yeah, well, this is a pretty large psychological excuse that's embraced by a large segment of the American public. Even the victims go along with these arguments. All you got to do is tell them, well, you got to give up your liberties because it's necessary for your security, and they'll buy into that.
And we stop the terrorists by putting half the kids on drugs.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And by turning your guns in, everything's going to be all right. So
yeah.
Now the dollar's plunging, all this is happening. What do you see in the next 2 years economically?
Well, you know, I think that the best way to predict the future is to take a look backwards and see where we are on the path and see where the path is heading. But unless there are some major changes, which I don't foresee because the American people aren't really yet willing to make major changes, they still want to continue doing exactly what they're told to do. So I see that we're going to continue to go just as we have been, which is an expansion of the monetary system, more and more money flooding into the system to try and patch up the holes. And finally, we'll come to a point where the system will either explode, it will, you know, go kaput, and we'll have a huge recession, or, and this is also likely, at that point, these people will have so much power that they'll step in and prevent that from happening simply by making it impossible for people to move in any way except the way they're told. They will be told, for example, that they cannot withdraw money from their bank. They cannot spend this or that. They cannot earn more than this or that. In other words, they could prevent that from happening by having a complete takeover
and a lot of
the
yuppies,
economic system.
A lot of the yuppies will go along with that because they'll think this is how they hold on.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So that's we're heading to one of those two places. Either there's going to be a great...
Ron Paul says we're going to have a depression.
Well, either that or we're going into totalitarianism in the economy.
Well, obviously, we'll have totalitarianism and they'll tell us the economy's great when it's not.
Right.
Let's take a call or two here. Let's talk to David in California. David, you're on the air with G. Edward Griffin. Go ahead.
Hey, Mr. Griffin, how are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, I wanted to ask you briefly just about mortgages and your opinion with respect to getting out from under a mortgage via notice and demand through the claim of fraud. And your
opinion. Well, I'll just say these systems are criminal, so no matter what argument you've got, they're still going to enforce their fraud on you through criminal, force. Do you ever, Griffin?
Well, yeah, it's a real interesting question, and it comes up more and more lately because there are so many programs out there being offered to eliminate mortgages and debts of other kinds as well. And my take on it is this. There are a couple of aspects that don't immediately pop to the surface. One is that I think that the banks are in big trouble because their contracts probably have been written in a fraudulent manner. They do not disclose properly to the customer that the money is being created out of nothing and that the basis for the loan is the credit of the customer and nothing comes from the bank except a service. They
but
don't
still,
disclose
even
that.
If it's fraudulent, they criminally enforce it through
they
color
do.
Of law.
They do enforce it, although there are a lot of instances today where the courts are upholding the claimant. Now, but that brings up another issue. If let's just assume that a person has bought a $6,000 plasma TV set, and suddenly he sees one of these programs and he says, "Golly, I don't have to pay off this loan. I got my TV set, but the bank didn't do it right. And if I get an attorney or buy into one of these programs, we can prove that the bank has made a mistake and they will cancel the loan." Now, let's just assume that that's successful, because it is being successful in some cases. Now, the question is that, okay, now I got my plasma TV set, and I didn't pay for it. Who paid for it? That's a question nobody wants to look at. They're totally focused on getting out of the debt, which I can understand. But the point is, if a debt is written off, for whatever reason, someone had to pay for that plasma TV set. Now, the company that built it had already been paid money, so it wasn't them. And it boils down to this, that when a loan is written off the books of a bank...
Somebody's being defrauded.
Somebody's being defrauded. Now, the first layer would be the...
So ask yourself, does that Circuit City deserve for you? You went in and bought it. You went in and did the loan. Is it moral for you to rip them off? They didn't do anything wrong.
Well, Circuit City got paid. So who wound up being ripped off? And the answer is it's the stockholders of the bank, because the assets of the bank have to be reduced.
And they're a bunch of criminals, so...
Well, I don't know. My aunt is a stockholder in a bank, and a lot of people
well,
have...
Well, I mean the board, the people that really run it.
The board. We're not talking about the board. It's the stockholders who pay. And I say that it's not proper to rip off them either.
I agree.
It's not proper to rip off anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's immoral on both sides. I mean, clearly, if a bank comes in, accelerates your note, tries to steal your house because you haven't paid a couple of payments, that's wrong. Do whatever you can to defend yourself. But just to do it out of the blue, we'll talk about it when we get back. It's an interesting question, the caller. Thank you. More calls coming up. Stay with us.
Alex Jones here, announcing the release of my new film, Police State 3 Total Enslavement. Police State 3 details the architecture, goals, and operations of the New World Order.
There is a chance to use this disaster for the New World Order.
A New World Order can emerge.
The film documents dozens of confirmed cases of government-sponsored terrorism worldwide. We rip the Sinister Patriot Act legislation 1 and 2 apart, piece by piece, and reveal the arrogance of what Ashcroft has to say about your liberty.
You will lose your liberty.
Homeland Security, executive orders, forced vaccinations, the new prison economy, the Total Information Society, the Pan-American Union, federal gun grabs, government-run white slavery rings, and much, much more. If you want to understand what the New World Order really is, then my new 2.5-hour video, Police State 3, is for you. Visit InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to order, or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Order today and spread the word.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
You ought to be clear about what I was saying. I'm not saying that the shareholders of banks themselves are criminals, because a lot of people, you know, own mutual funds and stuff that own bank stocks, millions of Americans. But what I'm saying is the enterprise itself, I will say, the way banks operate is a fraud and is criminal according to our Constitution. And so that was the point I was making. But Gio Griffin, we got loaded phones here for him. We got a guest coming up in 10 minutes. I want to keep you 5 minutes to the next hour to take a few more calls if you can before we get the guest on and try to get some of these out of the way. But finish up what you were saying about this people writing off debts.
Well, I think you pinpointed it right there that, yeah, we're not talking about the stockholders. They're innocent, except to the extent that they should perhaps be more careful of what they invest in. You talk about socially conscious investing. Nobody wants to invest in a gold mine in South Africa, for example, if they feel that there is apartheid in South Africa. How about investing in a bank when, it's so unconstitutional and what they're doing is ripping so many people off?
I could have invested in biometrics 5 years ago. I told people, if you're immoral, do it. And those stocks have tripled and quadrupled, everything else going down. But I didn't go invest in it because I'm not a sociopath.
Yeah, I would never invest in a bank for that reason. However, I have to admit that most people don't, they're not aware of this, and so you can't really blame them. But once they have the information, now that's another thing. But the other aspect of this is that the banks themselves usually don't wind up on the line too much, because if a bank should be threatened because of this kind of thing, they'll pass it on to the taxpayer.
Banks are always getting bailed out. Let's take another call here. Let's talk to Rick in New York. Rick, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to get back to the Federal Reserve. Getting back to the aspect of when they had the there hasn't been too much legislation on the Federal Reserve in the last 40 or 50 years. I remember reading in John McManus's book, Financial Terrorism, that Philip Crane tried to audit the Federal Reserve, I think, back in the 70s. And, of course, Ron Paul's legislation from last year. But I think that's a problem, because I guess the politicians are so intimately connected to the Federal Reserve banks.
Now, let me get a comment from our guest.
Well, there has not been much activity on the Federal Reserve, to my knowledge, in many years, because it's all been done. They got everything that they want. Now, they have the ability to extend the reserve ratios. It's now averaging around 10 to 1, but anytime they decide to, they can extend that to 21 or 30 to 1 or 100 to 1 or take all ratios off completely. After they get
the problem is that causes inflation and the dollar continues to drop.
Yeah, inflation is a hidden tax, and so the Federal Reserve becomes the instrument by which the government can tax everybody at an unlimited rate.
Yeah, we're about to break. I want to thank Rick for that quick call. We'll come back and take a few more. But Gio Griffin, I wanted to get your take on this because I know you're out in California. Clearly, the agenda is going full press boogie to get Arnold Alo Schwarzenegger into the White House to be this international figurehead for empire. A lot of people don't get it yet that this is really happening. I mean, I see it happening if we don't stop it. Any comments on that?
Well, all I can say is I agree with you, and it should cause people to wonder why they want Schwarzenegger. And obviously, if anybody has seen the pictures of Schwarzenegger hobnagging with the Rothschilds long before he ran for governor, they would know that he was accepted by that inner circle that we're talking about, and he's their man. And he's a very popular figure, so they figure, well, he's just another puppet they can put up there, and he'll be very useful.
He has so much dirt on him, too. Anytime they want to crush him, they can, so that's why they love him.
Yeah, they love all of the politicians that they have dirt on them, and they don't really care as long as they'll get votes. And if Schwarzenegger should be popular, they'll support him and use him, and then should he fall, they'll say, okay, next. Politicians are very dispensable in this game.
Well, I've started a national movement against it. ArnoldExposed.com. G. Edward Griffin, I hope you...
Well, good for you.
I'll have to
look at it myself.
We're going to try to terminate the Terminator's plans to be president.
Yeah.
Just 5 more minutes with you on the other side. Then we've got folks coming on about forced drugging of the children. Make a few more calls on the other side. So everybody stay with us.
Berkey, why?